Please be seated.
Today's scripture reading is in your pew Bibles, page 994. It's Acts 4:12, page 994. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So good to see you and Mr. some of you. Craig, you've been gone like 3 weeks. That's too much. Missed you so much. 2 weeks? It's like, you know, 3 weeks or a whole month. Then missed you and Andrea and Tim and Andrea said 2 weeks, but it was 3 weeks. And Kevin, 2 weeks? 2 weeks. But so glad to have you here with us. Today, we'll be talking about why should we know and follow Jesus. The reason that I'm thinking about and asking you to think about this is this. Because recently you've been hearing from me a lot, disciples and discipleship, and also I kind of keep talking about the simple church, join us in our discussion. And then the question is, Pastor, aren't there more pressing things of life that you can help us to better understand and grasp and get some health and strength from that, help and strength from that? You know, as I was thinking about this week, I got some calls and emails and some of things happening to you. Some of the great news, and Joyce's brother is doing better, and the cancer is kind of contained. It's not growing, so, you know, thanks be to God for that. At the same time, I received an email from a fellow clergy. Her mother is dying of pancreatic cancer. We saw her, she's, I believe, in her middle of 60s. So last year, before this person's ordination, she was very healthy, wonderful Christian mother. And I can't believe her mother had been diagnosed with this pancreatic cancer just 3 months or so. She's dying. It's just a matter of days. And some of our members, mothers at our memory unit, that's so terrible. That happened to me as well, that certain days my mother would recognize me, but certain times of the day she wouldn't recognize me, and things like that. It's really hard. Mother is on the hospice care, certain illness and losing job. Because of that, you have to move your home and find somewhere else, and accident happen. So the point is, yes, there are pressing things of life, demands our attention and prayer and care, and situation at home. Some of the children's and teenagers, their rebellion just disappear or walk out, conflicts in marriage. Some of even affect our family as well. So many pressing things and heavy things of life. Then, Pastor, why you just keep talking about disciple and discipleship, gotta know Jesus and follow Jesus? Why do you, can you tell us something more helpful now and direct? I'm going to do that. I'm going to explain that to you, why I'm aware of all these needs of a family and people. Even I have those needs. And then why I just keep saying and talking about knowing Jesus is so important and following Jesus is so important, disciple and discipleship. And let's think about simple church. That's all about making disciples. And Pastor, why? And here is why. Actually, I want to share with you two whys. In today's reading, Peter, after experiencing the Holy Spirit, everything has changed. Prior to that, Peter, he was kind of not sure. You know, typical man. One day said this, and the other said, you know, the other thing, kind of, you know, one day, you know, you are the Son of God, Most High, and the other day, and I said, you know, you can say that, you know, you saying something like devil, Jesus, just, you know, you can say anything like that. And on, then another day says, you know, to whom should we go? You have words of eternal life. He was kind of really peter out or flip-flopping a lot, typical man, we, right? However, after the Holy Spirit, his heart was set, clear. Everything suddenly became crystal clear. He began to stand in front of 3,000 or more than people, stand and clearly says, Jesus has died and risen. Therefore, he is the Son of God. He is the Savior. By believing in him, your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. You become children of God. He was so clear and bold in his proclamation about his assurance about this new and eternal life through Jesus Christ. So standing in front of a large crowd, this fisherman, not having any seminary education, any public education, he says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to us by which we can be saved, necessary for us to be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, here's the deal, who died and risen. I seen him. I testify about him. No other name by which we can be saved. You know, the reason that I'm talking about, I just keep talking about know Jesus and follow Jesus. Let's think about the simple church and discipleship because only knowing and following Jesus we have forgiveness and salvation, eternal life now and in the future as well, in no other name. Here's another human reality that makes us think about this issue of discipleship and following Jesus, because this is so important, because Hebrews 9, 26 and 27 says, he has appeared, Jesus, once for all, at the end of the age, to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. He's talking about the Bible is clear, saying the same thing. Christ died and risen. That was his sacrifice. Through that, he removed our sins. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once and after that the judgment. Yes, I worry about cancer. Yes, I still grieve about the loss of my mother, her losing memory. I have this memory of my mother when she was young, and I just run to her with problems and questions and then things of life. But seeing her health declining gradually, even there are times that not recognizing me, it was hard. So, you know, I care about cancer, health, and losing job, and accident, and marriage. Those things are important things of life. But friends, all those things are temporary. Even healing that we pray for, that is temporary. What really matters is after we die, we have to meet our Lord and Savior, and there this question, do we have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we have this assurance that I have his life, resurrection life through Jesus Christ in me? That's what matters. That matters not only 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, because that matters to eternity. That's why those things matter, cancer, illness, accident, job, those are important. Yes, we pray for, but the thing is, knowing Jesus and following Jesus, through that, having eternal life, life with him, this resurrection life now, and living in the life with Christ forever, that's the most important thing. And with that, let's think about this. Peter says, there's no other name by which we can be saved, in no other name under heaven but Jesus Christ, God has given us, by which we can be saved. So I kind of did a little bit of researching through Google and Wikipedia. Buddha was born around 6th century BCE. He taught, and in fact, reading some of his writings and his words, it's very inspiring and wise. I agree. But as we think about when the Bible says, there's no other name, in no other name by which we can be saved by Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Then we don't have time to go all the wonderful religious figures, but let's think about Buddha and Muhammad and Jesus. In terms of their teaching, but our focus is what about their death and after that? That's the question. Their death and after that. Buddha, he did wonderful teaching, but he died about when he was about 80. Don't know exactly, scholars debate about this, but either he died of food poisoning after eating pork meal, or some says a mushroom dish. While others say he died of a natural death due to his age 80. That's how he died. And Buddha, before his death, he said he'll be entering parinirvana, deathless condition. And told people to cremate his body. So here's my point. Yes, he did wonderful teaching, was wise, and he was a great person. But after his death, they cremated his body. Still, we have the tomb of Buddha. And somehow, over his cremated ashes, they made this golden statue and covered the ash there, and still people can go and visit the tomb. Where's the resurrection? Where's proof of life eternal beyond this physical death? Next, Muhammad, he was born and lived around the 5th and close to 6th century. It's very interesting. Buddha before Christ, about 6th century, and Christ, and then Muhammad about 5th century, that Christ is at the center of the history. And but before that, Muhammad, he was a great teacher. I don't think Muhammad, he claimed that he is without sin. If you read some of Quran, without sin, he is a son of God. I don't think he can say that you believe me, then your sins will be forgiven. You'll go to a paradise. I don't think he thought that way. And he died at the age of about 62 or 63. Don't know exactly. It is more likely that some kind of food poisoning, or some says he was assassinated, or some says after some of the battles he's been engaged in with other tribes of Arabia. After that, he complained of severe headache and pain and fever, and he died. And he was buried in Medina in Saudi Arabia. On the left, you see that that dome, that green dome, underneath believe that Muhammad was buried. And even some of the people today, they go and have pilgrimage there. So the question, I humbly ask this question with respect to other religion. Where is proof of life after death? Eternal and true life that this wonderful great prophet, religious figures can teach us and guide us. Where is that? Where is that? On the other hand, as Peter said, we believe Jesus Christ. I've been there somewhere like that. It's awesome. The simple tomb, but you go there then, our Lord and Savior, because he died. And 3 days after that, he was risen. Because of that, We don't have ashes. We don't have anything remaining there. It's empty because our Lord Jesus has died and risen and is ascended and went to the heaven and then sent the Holy Spirit. It is amazing. Peter, he was kind of a coward. He had, saying things and then later couldn't follow. So we even having this phrase petered out. I'll die with you. And then he denied three times. But everything changed because he has seen, witnessed, even ate with Jesus for 40 days. What a convincing evidence that is, for 40 days. After that, receiving the Holy Spirit, he stood and boldly proclaimed that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died, is risen, ascended, and sent his Holy Spirit so that whoever repent of his or her sin, accept him, their sins be forgiven, become children of God, and have eternal life. How do we know? That's what Peter is asking. How do we know? Because our Lord and Savior died and risen. I have seen him. That's it. With that, he's saying, there is no other name under heaven. In no other name has God has given to us by which we believe and must be saved. What a clear and clear, convincing argument. Not only Peter, Paul said this. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to go home and read this and think about this. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and the following. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and the following. It says, for, Paul speaking, I hand it on to you as of first importance. What he's saying is, for us Christ followers, this is the most important. This is the first importance thing. You know what that is? He's talking about Christ's death and resurrection. Christ's death and resurrection. For I handed on to you as of a first importance what I in turn have received, that. What is the most important to us? What defines us? What distinguishes us from other faith and religion? No other name. Well, what is that? Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, then the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, and most of them are still here with us. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Most of them are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as the one untimely born, he appeared also to me. This is what makes us so unique, what our faith is so hopeful and has healing power. That is, in accordance with the scripture, Christ the Son of God has come and died for our sins, has risen. So that whoever believes in him, their sins be forgiven, become children of God, so that they and we too have this eternal life now and forever. This is what we believe. This salvation is given no other name but Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died and risen and is with us. That's what Peter is preaching. That's what we believe. So, if I may summarize, this is what we know. How about we read this together? Ready? In no other name but Jesus, who died and risen and is with us through the Holy Spirit, we now have eternal life, and on that day we'll rise with him. Let's read it this together with conviction. And this time, there's reason that I made it capitalized. We have this eternal life already now through the Holy Spirit with us. And we'll have this forever on that day. This is what we believe. Now and on that day. This trumps everything else. Ready? In no other name but Jesus who died and risen is with us. Amen. For this wonderful hope, Peter said this. This is eternal life given us a new birth into a living hope, and this hope is imperishable, unfading, undefiled. Think about imperishable, undefiled, unfading. And this good news is further confirmed by Jesus in John 11, 24, 25. I am now resurrection and life. For those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. Those who believe in me, if they die, they will live forever. This is the good news what we believe. So with this, to follow Jesus Christ, let me ask you to think about and apply. This is time you need to pull out the bulletin and start to write down at the back of the bulletin. The Lord has spoken to us today. Amen. And what are you going to do with it? Let me make three suggestions. First is this. Have you and your loved one. What I mean by that is this. As you enter, you have received the Billy Graham Evangelist Association, that the little card by which we can repent of our sin and accept Jesus Christ. You all have that, right? Thank you. God has given us this great hope. How can we make this great hope and healing, make it our own? According to this, would you pull this out? And according to this, God loves us, but we sinned. So, on the one hand, we are here human beings. On the other side is God, loving God. Due to our sin, there's no connection. There's huge gap and chasm there. No human being can help us get across from this side, our sinfulness, to the other side of the love of God. So God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, having died on the cross. Through his death and resurrection, God built through the cross that bridge that we can cross from our sinfulness to the love of God. That is Jesus Christ. That is the cross. That is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, we admit that we are sinners, accept Christ's death and resurrection, his suffering for us, and believe Jesus Christ died for our sins, and pray this prayer in a sincere way, simple way. How about we together? Number four, here, the last page where we inserted our subtly logo there. Pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. That's it. The reason is I want you have this relationship with Christ. I want your loved one to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that important? That's important because all other will disappear, but our relationship to Christ will be forever. Once I was visiting at a nursing home, a lady in her 80s. Got to talk. That lady said this, "Pastor, I do not pray for my children and grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, that they be wealthy, famous, make lots of money. No, Pastor, I pray that each of my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to know Jesus as his or our Savior and follow him. Pastor, that's what I pray. That's what I pray. Because everything else, our struggles and stresses will disappear. Only this thing will be forever." Next is, because of this, could I ask you, from this week on, as we share our joys and concerns, yes, let's share great joys and concerns, but the thing is, somehow we ought to pray for someone who doesn't know Jesus to know Jesus, because that's what matters ultimately, isn't it? Isn't it? Go ahead and bring your concerns, but let us somehow include this. "Pastor, would you pray so-and-so that he knows Jesus? I love him as my dear brother or sister, but he doesn't know Jesus yet. I pray for him. Would you?" That should be, because that's eternal concern, should be included in our joys and concerns. I have a brother-in-law in Korea. He's just super great guy. You know? My sister's first husband one day walked out of the marriage, just gone. So my sister had to raise my niece by herself, and then later met this wonderful man. He is just a very kind and gentle, generous person. Only thing is, he's so nice, super nice, but he doesn't believe Jesus. And I dread if I get to heaven and not get to have fellowship with my brother-in-law, that'll be really heartbreaking. So I pray for his salvation. Okay, so joys and concerns. And another thing is, we do simple church, right? We studied this, discussed this, and we have been great conversation. Please join us. And also, we just keep saying, here our mission is becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ to bring hope and healing. We are planning this very important mission event, outreach event, to help our children are caught in this terrible, wicked, horrible evil. And we do VBS. And I said this very clearly. We're not going to have just BVS so that another person, another family says, "Oh, we had another nice babysitting event." And some of the families, they take their children 3 to 4 different VVS. We are aware of that. That's why we pray that through our rescue and VVS, through our worship and everything we do, somehow we do people and children to know Jesus and follow Jesus, so that they, in no other name but through the name of Jesus, they have eternal life now and on that day. So would you pray for that? So that what we do actually do in line with our mission. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, while we were still yet sinners, sent by you from heaven, died for our sins. Not just died and buried and cremated, the tomb is still there, highly decorated, but he is risen, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and has sent the Holy Spirit so that whoever believes in him, repent of their sin, his or her sin, accept him. Then you forgive their sins and make them and claim them as your children of eternal life now and forever. So, Lord, in this faith, in no other name but the name of through Jesus Christ, we will rise again. For this eternal hope of healing, Lord, and salvation, we give you thanks. Help us that we believe and live in this faith, and help others to know this hope and healing. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's children say, Amen. Would you prepare your heart and mind so that we can celebrate the communion together? Christ, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with God and with one another. Let us confess our sins through our silent prayers. All-knowing God, during the week through our thoughts, careless words, and angry words, and our deeds, we have sinned against you. Lord, we are very sorry. Ask that in Jesus' name, forgive us and renew us, O Lord. We ask all this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, hear this wonderful news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Through that, God proved how much God loves us and has forgiven all our sins. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven children of God, would you stand and share the peace of Jesus Christ to one another? You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, lift up your heart and give thanks to God. Blessed are you, O God, whom with your word and Holy Spirit created all things and called them good. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Through Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death, and destroy their power forever. You raised from the dead the same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory, and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night before meeting with death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of this your mighty act in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on this gift of bread and wine, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know your love and your real presence amongst us, and be renewed as the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at your heavenly table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor, glory, majesty is yours, now and forevermore. Amen. We'll practice intention. We'll be serving three stations, right here and there and sidecar. If you need gluten-free element, please come to the center. Christ invites to his table. All of you are welcome. And we have Stephen minister here. If you'd like to be prayed upon, anointed as James taught us, and then Stephen minister is available for you. Communion service, would you come forward and prepare yourselves? Children, you, children, listen up. You are representing Christ. Let us come with a grateful heart.